The first thing to be said about the horrific and tragic murder in Udaipur is that it's a heinous crime. It's a crime that no civilized society can allow. We should give the perpetrators the biggest and worst punishment that our society will allow. These kind of people cannot exist among us. That's the first thing. The second thing is that if it is true, as is now being suggested, that the hapless victim had actually contacted the Rajasthan police, had asked for help, and had been turned away, then that's even more shocking. Action should be taken against those who didn't help him. Well, I think those two are pretty non-controversial. Let's get on to the controversial part. The controversial part for me is the way in which both sides are using this tragedy to play politics. Let's start with the position of the Hindu right. The Hindu right says, you know, these fanatics and what they've done prove that what Nipur Sharma did was right, that all of us were wrong to condemn her. All these liberals who condemned her encouraged this. I mean, this is errant nonsense. First of all, I don't think that many liberals even noticed what she did. And even when they did notice, and some people said a few things, nobody in the government paid any attention. Nupur Sharma got into trouble because foreign governments complained. And the people who threw her overboard, who called her a fringe element, who disowned her, with the BJP leadership and the government of India. So you may feel bad for Nupur Sharma, you may feel that she was treated badly, but she wasn't treated badly by liberals, she was treated badly by the BJP leadership. Speaking for myself, I believe that what she said was deeply offensive, but I do believe that in a free country, she had the right to say it. So don't blame liberals for what the BJP did. Okay, that's point one. Point two, to argue that because people condemned her for what she said, this led to the incident in Udaipur, makes no logical sense. You could just about draw a logical conclusion by saying that her comments were what started the whole thing off. The tailor in question had defended her, the assailants objected. You could make that connection, but that's not the connection the Hindu right is making. For some reason, they're trying to blame the people who criticized Nupur for what happened in Udaipur. That's wrong. And if you are convinced that that's what happened and that it's people who criticize Nupur Sharma who are to blame for what happened in Udaipur, fair enough. Don't blame liberals, but blame the BJP leadership. They're the people who threw her under the bus. More worrying, I think, even than this sort of right-wing errant nonsense, is the position of liberals. Too many liberals have come out on social media and in conversation and have tried to link the incident to what is happening in India as a whole. Their argument is as follows. Muslims have it bad in India, that there's lots of discrimination, that Muslims have been othered, they've been made to feel alienated. So such incidents are bound to follow. This is also nonsense. It also mischaracterizes the Muslim community's attitude to violence. First of all, I accept many Muslims, most Muslims even, are not happy with the way things are going in India. But to suggest that therefore they would turn to violence or they condone this kind of violence is irresponsible and it is wrong. The truth is Indian Muslims have never really gone to violence any more than, say, Hindus have. When a wave of pan-Islamic radicalization spread all across the world, India remained largely immune. We used to boast hardly anybody from India joined Al-Qaeda, hardly anybody from India joined ISIS. India's Muslims, no matter what indignities are heaped on them or whatever sense of victimhood they may feel, have always resisted the path of violence. To suggest that they are now turning to violence because they're being treated badly by Yogi Adityanath or by the BJP is not just to characterize what the BJP is doing, it is also to caricature what Indian Muslims are feeling. Yes, Indian Muslims may be unhappy, but that's not why this happened. Don't ever make that fraudulent connection. Also, I mean, implicit in this argument is the suggestion that when Islamist violence happens, it happens because Muslims are an oppressed minority. This is actually not true. If you look at terrorism, if you look at Islamist violence, you will find that it is most predominant in Muslim-majority countries. Take Pakistan, for example. Pakistan's been wreaked with all kinds of violence created by terrorist groups. Now, these are not people who are protesting because they've been oppressed by a Muslim majority. These are Muslims in a Muslim country. That's true all over the world. Let's take another example from history. Let's take The Satanic Verses by Salman Rushdie. Now, the book was banned first in India. It was banned legally. But when the protest started, they didn't start in India. Attack on the British consulate was in Pakistan. Ayatollah Khomeini saw this in Iran on his television. He immediately issued a fatwa and called for Salman Rushdie's death. The people who killed translators, who tried to kill Rushdie, the bombs that went off. None of that was the work of Muslims who felt oppressed by Hindus in India or whatever. In fact, none of it was the work of Indians. It was Muslims in Muslim-majority countries who did this. So let's end this bogus connection between people feeling oppressed and turning to murder and violence. That isn't how it works. Terrorism is a very complex phenomenon. Many factors contribute to it, and it has been studied in great detail. So let's not simplify it. Let's not take the simplistic connection and say, if you treat Muslims badly, people will be beheaded. That's unfair to Muslims, and it's simply not true. So what does the Udaipur incident tell us? Well, it tells us something, I suppose. It tells us that a phenomenon that we've seen in the West has come to India. All over the West, there have been attacks in France, in America, in England, in many other countries, by what are called lone wolves. That's one or two people who've been radicalized, either because they follow some radical Islamist school of Islam, or because they've been radicalized by preachers on the internet. But they become so radical and violent that they take to stabbing innocent people, to assaulting them, to driving cars into crowds. It's a difficult phenomenon to explain, but it's not the same thing as an ISIS cell planning an attack on a target, right? It is lone wolves, it's individuals who've been radicalized. This is terrible, and it's not to excuse it. But don't make the mistake of conflating that with, say, the attack on Bombay, which was organized and a terrorist attack. These are lone wolves. We need to act against these lone wolves. We need to act against the people who radicalize them. We need to find out who they are, and we need to lock them up. But that's not the same thing as terrorism in a global sense. An act of terror is not the same thing as something organized by a terrorist organization. I think it's an important distinction, and we need to make it. The Chief Minister of Rajasthan has said this was not a communal incident. Well, it was communal in that it was a Hindu-Muslim incident, but he's right in that it wasn't a communal riot. Equally, I think he's wrong, and as are other people who keep saying it's a terrorist act, it's an act of terror, but it's not necessarily based on what we know so far, an act by a terrorist organization. It's an act carried out by lone wolves, by radicalized, violent, deranged maniacs. If you see the video they made afterwards, they make no attempt to hide who they are. They want to tell the world what they've done. There's something maniacal and deranged about it. These are people who pose a threat to every society, to every liberal society, to every democratic society. And of course, we should do something about them. But do not pretend that these people represent Indian Muslims as a whole, or that these people are a response to the bulldozing of houses or whatever. They're not. You find them everywhere. And yes, they must be fought, but we mustn't draw general conclusions from what they've done. So to sum up, what happened was terrible. We need to investigate it. We need to find out exactly who these people were. What it seems like now is that they were locals. They had threatened the tailor previously, that there was enmity, that they weren't really people sent in, parachuted in by ISIS or whatever. But even so, we need to investigate this. There is some suggestion that at least one of them was following a radical school of Islamism based in Pakistan. That needs to be investigated even more thoroughly. But let's not draw too many general conclusions. Let's not come to some global theory as a consequence of it. Let's remember Kanhaiya Lal, the poor tailor who paid the price for all of this. Let's mourn him. Let's ultimately recognize that he and his family were the victims. As the society, as India, we failed to help him, we failed to protect him. That's the real tragedy. Never forget that. We'll be right back.